What therefore God had joined together, let no man put asunder. That is Mark 10:9. I want to talk in this particular episode about God restoring marriages. And I want to start off with the trending topic of this young lady on TikTok who came, and she basically described to the world, very vulnerable, very transparent, how God restored her marriage. And she got a lot of heat. And I did my take on it. And my take, I will elaborate on that here and talk a little bit further about marriage restoration and what that looks like. Because one of the common questions that I get, and I'm often not talking about these particular topics, but, well, what if he cheated? What if this happened? What if he lied? What if he's doing drugs? What if he's abusive? And a lot of times I don't want to sound dismissive, but my immediate answer is, you have to take these matters to God. You have to, because it is not your job as a mere human to have a full understanding of what is going on. We get in our flesh, and hear me well, I'm not saying that abuse, addiction, or any type of wrongdoing in a marriage is okay. That's not what I'm saying. But we get in our flesh and we want to make decisions based on how we feel. And that's just not what we're told to do. So when I first made the post about God restoring my marriage, a couple of things happened. I got some people riled up in the comments. There was one young lady that actually came to my comments, made a few statements. She was like, no, because God never put that union together in the first place. And then she went on a tangent, and then she went on her page and made a video that said, God did not tell you to marry that man. And I want to first say that comprehension is key when talking about these topics, because we never said, I don't even think the lady herself who made the message said that that man was her God ordained spouse. I don't think she even called her husband a man of God. So we have to bring our comprehension and not our offense to these conversations. And I just want to say that if you're not comfortable doing that going forward, you're going to want to click out of this podcast, because it's not going to be for you. The first thing that I want to reiterate is that we do not know what God told another person unless they say something that is directly contradicting the word of God. We do not know what God said to another person. And most of us will be quick to say, God didn't tell you that, before we even seek God ourselves in prayer to ask about that person. So while there were a lot of people that were like, God didn't tell you that, stop lying on God, do what you want to do, but stop bringing God into your relationship, I have to beg to differ. Do what you want to do, but bringing God into your relationship should be the first thing that you do. And oftentimes we do get ourselves unequally yoked. I myself in my marriage was and still feel as though I'm unequally yoked sometimes. But my job, and I'm not going to say my husband is not a believer, right? But he is not always following exactly in line with what God says to do. And that's not my problem. That's his problem. I can't make that my problem. My problem is that I need to be obedient to my Lord and Savior, and that I need to submit to my husband unless my husband does something directly contradicting the word of God and what God tells me to do. And oftentimes we cannot think past that. We like to think in excuses, and we like to think in justification. So we like to find that we no longer want to be in this relationship because this man betrayed me and now I gotta go. But God didn't tell us that. And just like God never told you to get into that marriage with that man, he probably didn't tell you to leave either. But you're too busy living in your flesh, just like you were living in your flesh when you said, I do, before you vetted this man out and before you asked God if that was the man for you. So I want to make it very clear that just because a person says that God restored their marriage does not mean that it was a God-ordained marriage. I think it's also important to remember that God wants us to stay together. Marriage is a sacred covenant, and God takes it very seriously. Even if two heathens come together in holy matrimony, God wants those two people to stay married. God wants us to stay married. Okay? Now, again, don't put words in my mouth and don't say things that are not being said. Now, let's move forward in this conversation. So when she said that God restored her marriage, again, she did get a lot of hate. She got a lot of people who misunderstood what she said. And I think it's very clear that she never said the man was a man of God or that it was a God-ordained marriage. People are making that up. But what she did say, and what I can appreciate about this whole thing, and most people miss this because they don't have the time and the heart to sit down and do due diligence. She made a separate video and she talked about all the things that God told her that she was doing wrong in her marriage. And just for context, I don't want to spend too much time on the story because you guys can look this up. But in her marriage, she had gone through a lot. Her husband put her through. Let me not say she went through. Her husband put her through a lot. And if anybody were to listen to that, all of us, including myself, would want to be like, I am leaving and I'm not going back. Are you out of your mind? Her husband abandoned her. She was pregnant. Her husband had moved on to another woman. And she said that God was specifically telling her to be obedient to what he told her. And God told her to pack a bag and God told her to reconcile with her husband. And this is what people were upset about. People said that she was male-centered. People said that she was putting God in the mix of something that he didn't do. Now, I will never speak on whether or not God said that to her, because at the end of the day, God is going to judge her for whether or not that is true. That's not my business. But what I can say is, I know that if we all got out of our flesh more frequently and we actually listened to the word of God, we would be doing things that looked weird and uncomfortable to other people. There are people who say that God told them to quit their jobs. We don't know whether or not it's true. But as soon as someone says that, people are like, oh, you're crazy. Da, da, da. But those same people are not taking the time to understand. Did God tell this person that? We don't know unless you went and asked God. We don't. So in her situation, her husband put her through a lot, and reasonably she could have left. Like, she could have wanted to leave. Her flesh probably screamed, no, don't go back, leave. He betrayed you in this way. But she repeatedly said that God was speaking to her. And here's the thing that we don't understand is that God is a God of restoration, and God can change any situation that we cannot. Now, another thing that I like to allude to in this situation is Kay and Phil Robertson. That is the Duck Dynasty family. They have a podcast, but I remember some years ago, I watched this episode of a special that they did on the family. It was like a 10-part series where each member of the family talked about their life and growing up and how being a part of that household has impacted them, things that happened, things that they learned. And I really enjoyed when Miss Kay sat down and talked about, I'm getting chills, and talked about her experience with Phil. They got married very young, and when I say very young, they were teenagers, and they started having children. Phil was an athlete, very popular guy, but when they got married and started having children, he started to be cold. He was an alcoholic. He was running around on her with different women. He was obviously possessed, and it was around the time that she came to Jesus and those children came to Jesus that he started acting a complete fool. She continued to pray for him. She did physically separate herself. She left the house because he told her he wanted her to leave. But all throughout that time, she was on her face in prayer. She was humble. She didn't yell at him. She didn't berate him. And the thing is, when we have these conversations, people think that we're saying that women or men, whoever's the oppressed person in the situation, is supposed to lay down and take it. That's not the point here. The point is to understand that marriage is sacrifice. And it's important that we also note neither of them were believers before they got married. And it's also important to note that when you get married, the devil is coming for you and that union. He is. And a lot of times we fall for it. He starts to come for us. He starts to place little temptations in front of us. He starts to place little seeds of doubt and distrust. He does it very well. And most of us fall for it. Most of us take the bait. And I'm telling you, he does this to believers and non-believers, because he don't want to see you be married. He don't want to see you do nothing that God tells us to do. He came to kill, steal, and destroy. He wants to pervert everything that God created, including your marriage. And so it's very important to remember that. So in Miss Kay getting saved in the marriage and Phil not being in line with that, they obviously had some issues. So again, she left physically. She did not divorce him. She left. She continued to pray for him. And after some time, he crashed, burned, came back, and she accepted him with open arms. He called her. He said, can you call the pastor? I want to know about this Jesus stuff. Or I'm paraphrasing, something along those lines. And, you know, when the pastor came, he told him, have you ever heard the gospel? And he was like, yeah, I know gospel music, this, that, and the third. And he told him, no, he said, and he explained to him that Jesus came and died for our sins, and he accepted Jesus as his Lord and Savior. And he, in that moment, he said he came to realize that he was going so hard for the devil that now he was absolutely committed to working for the kingdom of God. And I want to say that none of that would have happened if Miss K did not pray for him and continue. Well, I won't say it wouldn't happen if she prayed for him. If it was God's will, it would happen. But their life would not have panned out that way if she had decided, oh, he's tripping, I'm going to leave and I'm going to start my new family. Did she go through it? Yes. Would I wish that on anyone? Absolutely not. Would she have been justified if she left? I believe so. I believe she would have been justified in leaving, but I believe that looking back on their life and looking at where they are now, God has not only rewarded her for staying and dying to her flesh in that situation and not making it about her, because they have this beautiful family. They have a very successful business. They're a well-known family, and I think a lot of marriages have been changed from their story and from their ministry. But I also think that her crown in heaven will be great, because that's a great work to go through and to be humiliated, honestly. I'm sure that was embarrassing. I'm sure it's not fun to experience your husband running around with lots of women, to experience your husband talking to you in a way that's abusive in front of your children. But one thing she always told her children when they were really small, she would say, that's not your daddy, that's a demon. And she made it clear to her children, your daddy is going through things because your daddy is not that person. And I think she could only do that because she was a diligent woman of God. So she never spoke ill of him in front of her children. And again, I don't want to unpack too much of that situation, because again, y'all can look that up. It's a very beautiful story. But going back to God restored my marriage, in that same regard, when we look at marriages and when we look at these situations and when we look at restoration, the first thing that we have to consider is dying to your flesh. It's not about you. It's not. It's not about you. You're married to another person. And you also have to remember that sins are sins. We all do things. We all sin and fall short of the glory of God. And I'm not making excuses for anyone who is out there deliberately doing things to their husband or their wife, because there are going to be times when God tells you to leave, but I'm not talking about those times. So if God does tell you to stay, if you are praying for restoration, the biggest thing is patience. You have to remember to be patient. God doesn't work on our time. Just because you're sick and tired and fed up doesn't mean that he's going to come with a solution. And sometimes God allows us to make our bed and lay in it. So going back to the God restored my marriage situation, we don't know what signs were there when she married him. And we don't know if there were people around her telling her not to marry that man. So everything that she went through in that situation, the storms, the tribulations, it may have just been her reaping what she had sown. And I think it's important that we have those conversations too, because we seem to think that we can just make bad decisions and God's going to save us from those bad decisions. We have consequences. And I'm not saying what happened or what didn't happen, because I don't know the history of her relationship to say that. I'm just offering perspective. So when we have these conversations, we also have to understand that, right? And so when we go to have a theory or a thought about if God is going to restore this situation, I personally think that you have to go in not expecting that he will. I know the Bible tells us that whatever we pray for, believe that it is already ours. But we have to pray that these things are ours in the will of God. Just because you pray to be a millionaire doesn't mean that you're going to be a millionaire. Right? But if it's in God's will and if it's in his direction for you, he will lead the way for you. He will. Just because you pray that this man stops sleeping around doesn't mean that he will. But if it is in God's will for you, and it is in God's will to go for y'all to go through this thing for whatever reason he has for you, because in that lady's case, it might be that she went through that so that she could build this ministry to talk to other women about a healthy marriage, because I'm not going to let her off the hook with the fact that she made that video and said that God showed her some of the things that she was doing wrong in her marriage. And I think that was the best video she made. Because while people are angry for her saying that God restored her marriage after all those things that her husband put her through, she's a brave soul for going out there and telling the truth about herself too. because she said, he did this, but look at what God showed me about myself. And that is hard because most of us just want to point the finger. So yes, her husband cheated on her. Yes, her husband was doing all of these things, but was she being receptive? Was she being loving? Was she being gentle with her husband? Because let's say if the shoe were on the other foot, a man that's not providing for his family and his wife goes out and cheats on him with a guy that has a lot of money and has been buying clothes for the kids. She's not justified in that, but he has to hold up the reflection mirror and say, oh, I was not doing my part. Where do we go from here? That's all I'm saying. We have to look at these things from all sides. And we also have to know that when we have these conversations, it's not appropriate to ask another person, what should I do? You have to ask God. And the problem with that is most of us don't talk to God on the regular. So when we ask him and he doesn't respond right now, we go to the people. And the problem with people is, depending on who you're talking to, they're going to tell you some foolishness. Because the same people that might tell you to leave their situation are not going to be the people there to help you when you do leave said situation and now you need assistance. And I'm not saying that you should stay just because you need assistance, but I'm saying that we need to be more comfortable in not moving until God tells us to. We need to be more comfortable in seeking an answer over and over and over and doing nothing until God tells us to. God doesn't need your help. He needs your obedience. And so when we see people talk about marriage restoration, when you're a woman who's in a marriage and you're like, is this man ever going to stop cheating on me? I don't know that he's ever going to stop cheating on you. I do know that if you pray to God, you will get the answers that you need, because it may be the case that he's a habitual cheater and he's laying down with everything. Yeah, you might need to separate yourself from that situation before he gives something to you that he has. Right? It may be a case where it was one woman and it was long term, and it hurts because how could you go over there and have this long term connection with somebody? And you don't know what to do in that situation. You don't know if you should leave. Sometimes it's abuse and you need to physically get away. Don't let people tell you God hates divorce when your safety is on the line. Use discernment, right? Don't let people convince you and gaslight you that you should stay in a situation that is detrimental to you. But I think it is safe to say that some of these situations are not like that. Sometimes it's not even any cheating or abuse or addiction involved. Sometimes we just want to leave because we're not getting along. Sometimes we just want to leave because times are tough. Sometimes we want to leave because the money is tight. And I'm just saying, God didn't tell you to leave. He didn't. You have to talk to him. You have to see what it is that he says about the situation. And so when it comes in regard to what God has joined together, let no man put asunder. I mean, just that, don't allow man and people and the way that you're going to look for staying influence your decision one way or another. Let God influence your decision one way or another. And if you are not married and you are listening to this, I'm not sure why you would be. So I don't know if I should even mention this, but if you're not married and you're listening to this, it is very important that before you get married, you find the Lord and you find you somebody that loves the Lord and that prioritizes him, so that you don't get into an unequally yoked marriage. Because marriage is hard even when it is two people who are believers. But imagine how much harder it'll be if you get married to someone and you don't even know that they are overcome with demons. Now you've married them in all their baggage, all their spiritual baggage. And so it's very important that we do our due diligence in those situations. It's equally important that when we have these sensitive conversations, we take the time to bring our understanding and to bring our comprehension and to be a little bit quiet when people are speaking and to practice restraint so that you can seek to understand and not be offended. I will also add that if you are a person who's questioning whether or not God wants you to leave, before you just look at what the other person is doing wrong, look at yourself. What are you doing? If you're a man and your wife cheated on you, did you make it easy for her to cheat? I'm not blaming you for her going out there and cheating, but I'm just asking you, did you create an environment where it was easy for her to cheat? Ask yourself that. Were you loving? Were you providing? Were you protecting? Were you gentle with her? Were you emotionally available? And again, I'm not saying that she's right and justified if you were not doing those things, but I am saying that you have to hold yourself responsible for not being those things and helping her to be in the arms of another man. Similarly, same thing with a wife. Same thing with a husband. If you as a wife are being cheated on or were cheated on, and you ask yourself that question and there's any ounce of you that can say, you know what, I wasn't doing this. We weren't being intimate. I was denying him all the time. I wasn't very supportive. I was mean. Well, now you need to repent. Yes, he does too. He needs to apologize to you and he needs to repent, but you also need to repent for the role that you played in dishonoring and disrespecting and having complete disregard for your husband, the man that you vowed to be there for and to be there with. So he's guilty, but so are you. So I think the biggest takeaway is going to be, even before we consider God restoring your marriage, are you willing to sit and reflect on things that you may have done that contributed to it happening? And again, I'm not blaming somebody going out to cheat. That's their decision. It doesn't matter what's happening inside this household. If you go out there and do that, that is your fault. But I cannot deny that sometimes in relationships, we do things to drive a wedge between us and our spouses. So I really want us to be careful when we have these conversations, and I want us to consider these things and to think about it from both sides and to not just be so in our flesh and to not just say it could never be me if I did that. And to not be so quick if it is you in that situation to up and leave, because maybe you do need to up and leave to physically be away from that person while you seek God and sort these things out. But to rush to the courthouse for the divorce as the first sign, I don't know that that's the right thing to do, because we are called to forgive. And whether or not there's reconciliation, there should always be forgiveness, because vengeance is for the Lord. So even if you do not end up with this person, it's not on you to get back at them. It's not on you to make them miserable. It's on you to forgive. And you need God to forgive in a lot of situations, because we don't want to do it on our own. So the biggest thing is just getting out of your flesh. And again, if you're going through something, take it to God. Don't rely on people's understanding. Don't rely on people telling you things. Don't rely on once, because people will tell you once a cheater, always a cheater. He ain't gonna never change. She did that before, but you don't know what God has in store for that situation. And because you don't have that understanding, you mere mortal, you need to go to God and you need to center him and you need to bring him into that situation and you need to be patient. You might need to fast, friend. You need to sit with the things that God tells you. You need to be in your word. You need to seek him. Be on your face in prayer. Repent for anything that you have done. Forgive. Ask for forgiveness for what you have done. And then forgive the other party and wait on God. Wait on God. Don't do what your neighbor said to do. Don't do what your cousin said to do. Don't do what your mom said to do. Don't even do what your spouse is telling you to do. Wait on the answers from God. And allow him to move you and allow him to work in that situation, whether it be restoration, whether it be a separation, whatever it is. I do firmly believe that most people who can die to their flesh and stay in those situations when it's reasonable, I think that God loves to see that, because it's an act of being Christ-like. Now, I'm not going to say God does not forgive every single sin, and we're not going to get into that. There are certain things, blaspheming the Holy Spirit is one of them. There are certain things that will not make it into the kingdom of heaven, right? But we are to forgive people as we want to be forgiven. That's not just your husband or wife, that's people. We are to model our lives after our Lord and Savior. So that's all that I have to say on that topic. I don't know how this audio is going to turn out, because your girl is working with no equipment. This is my iPhone voice memos. But of course, as we continue, I will invest in products to make the user experience even better. Thank you for joining me today. This was our first episode. We're going to aim to have an episode every Friday. If you are not subscribed to YouTube, you can go ahead and do that. We do the letters on YouTube, Just Me Sean. And I take letters from people who need advice on situations. My advice is not king, but I do my best to give advice from a biblical standpoint. If you're interested in the YouTube channel, I do new episodes every Tuesday. I also transfer all the book club readings from TikTok to YouTube, so I post pretty frequently there. And there will also be new blog posts every Wednesday. So we have a lot coming up. It's a very exciting month ahead. Days ahead, times ahead. But all thanks to y'all, because I would never have done a YouTube or a podcast if y'all didn't keep asking me for it. So thank you for this opportunity to be an eternal yapper. Love y'all. See you in the next episode.